huge, Pastor Perkins, huge round of applause as he comes up, shares the word.
Hi, church. You may be seated. It's an absolute delight to be with you. Love, I feel like I've come home. I feel like this is family. Love your leaders. Aren't they awesome? I said, aren't they awesome? It's a great family. And, you know, I trust that you do see them as your leaders, because I probably made this statement. I make it everywhere I go because I totally believe in it. Leaders take us where we can't take ourselves. I said, leaders take us where we can't take ourselves. I'm so thankful for the leaders in my life today. I'm here because of them. I'm so thankful to Pastor Phil Pringle, who just opened doors for me that I could have never seen opened. I remember the first time he asked me to preach for him. This is what leaders do. And he critiqued my preaching. And I didn't know it. He said, he called me and said, Fergus, I just want to see you down. I shifted from my church in eastern suburbs and moved over to him because I was he'd asked me to become an itinerant minister. I'd preach for him. He said, Ferg, just want to spend a few moments with you. Man, I was freaked out because he had a list this long of things he wanted to talk about in my preaching. But guess what? He had me back in his pulpit again. And he helped me so much. Not that I ever think that I'm the greatest preacher. You don't learn too much off me, but you're going to catch a whole lot off me today. I said, I'm not sure what you're going to learn, but you're going to catch something. And God's a spirit. You are a spirit being. We forget that sometimes. You live in a body, you have a soul, but you're a spirit being. God speaks spirit to spirit. I can tell you, if God gets something into your spirit, it'll go to your head. But there's no guarantee if something goes to your head that it's going to go to your spirit. I'm here today out of a burden. Prophets speak out of a burden. It took a long time for me to learn that. It was my leader pastor that helped me understand that about me. I was asked to go and speak at a Hal Oxley's conference. You know Hal Oxley, wonderful man of God. He was pretty high up, and he was an old man. He's in his 90s now. But he asked me to come and preach at his conference. I thought I was very honored to be asked to preach at his conference. And of course I said yes. I thought, man, this is awesome that he asked me to speak at his conference. But then the DK day came when he sent me a fax, not an email, it was a fax. He's an old man. He sent me a fax. And he said he'd like my notes. At that point I freaked. Want my notes? No guarantee that I'll have notes. No guarantee that what's on my notes, I'll preach it. And I never answered him for him. He asked me a year in advance. I've got a month to go, and I still haven't answered his facts. Finally, out of sheer fear, I phoned Pastor Phil. I said, you know me, Phil. I said, Pastor Hal Oxman wants me to speak at his conference, but he wants my notes. And he began to laugh. It was very comforting to hear him laughing at me. Mr. Ferguson says, that's just easy. Just tell him you preach out of a burden. And as soon as he said it, I realized what I do. It's just the way I'm wired. It's the way this gift, it's the way God uses this gift. There's a burden inside of me. I've had it for years. I remember going to Europe, and my pastor prophesied over me, said that the burden of the spiritual forefathers of Europe would come on me in Europe. I had no idea what that meant until I was standing outside a church in Scotland, and I began to weep. I went to Poland. I was sitting in a airport waiting to catch a plane. I started to weep. I got to Germany, and I thought I was there 3 or 4 days, and I thought, "Oh, good! I don't have a burden for Germany. I've done walking down a street in Bavaria in the middle of the day, not even thinking about God, saying the burden of God come on me. And so I'm here today because of a burden. I'm your friend, but there's something inside of me that you must catch today. If you catch what I'm saying, you'll do what I say. You know, Christianity is more than learning something. It's being we're transformed from glory to glory by the power of His glory. It's more about, life's about being transformed, not conformed. We're not a bunch of sausages. Some people are sausages. Well, no, they're not. They're beautiful people, God. I've been with a friend here today. I'm not allowed to look at him but he's been stirring me up. And there's a spirit of nonsense that I've got to keep at bay. So I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to look at who actually created that for me. But I'll tell you what, he can be a very beautiful person, but he can be a pest. A loving pest. Anyway, I'll move on. Oh, God, now I've lost my anointing. Hey, church. I believe that God has some things to say to you today. And I'll prophesy to individuals, but I want you to get the message that God gave me. There's two reasons that Jesus came to the earth. One was to destroy the works of the devil. And the other was to reveal the Father. And I believe that this church is on a journey of two facets of truth that this church needs to grasp. That Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's what he's here for. And that's what you're here for. To destroy the works of the devil. I'm talking to you. You're the one that destroys the works of the devil. And I really hear the Spirit of God saying, be patient. I'm the Lord of heaven's armies. I'm rearranging the army of heaven, says God. Be faithful that which I've called you to. Seek the welfare of the city. In the welfare of the city, you shall have welfare, says God. Your welfare is in seeking the welfare of the city. Understand it, says God, that the increase of my government is coming on your house. My passion, says God, is to increase the government, my government on the shoulders of my people. Understand, increase is stamped on your hearts. But be patient, says God, in well-doing. Seek ye the welfare of others. Be servants to your city. For in that, says God, I will serve you. I am the Father of all the families that are named in heaven and earth. I am your begetter, says God. I'm the one that brings to birth that which you require in life. Consider not the former years nor your former ways, says God, for this is the day of the increase of the revelation of who I am. I am who I am. Understand it, says God. For in this, you shall understand I am the begetter. I am the procreator of all that you need in life. Thank you, Father. There's one thing I've learned. As Judy and I have traveled the world for the last 22 years, is that it doesn't matter what nation I'm in. There's one thing I've learned. The world has been orphaned. Jesus came to reveal the Father. If you want to know what your Father in heaven's like, look at Jesus. And there's one thing I know that I remember walking through a square in Budapest, and I'm so blimmin' naive. I didn't understand what was going on, but this woman's walking up and making all these saying all these things and having a clue what she was trying to say to me. But it was my friends that told me, "Oh, she's a prostitute. She's propositioning you." I couldn't even read that myself, but I thought, my thought was, that poor kid, if she was loved by her father, she'd never be selling her body. She felt the love of her father. She wouldn't be wanting to do that. Downtown New York, talking to a business guy who's, all he can talk about is what he's done and who he is. And I thought, you know what? If he had a father, he wouldn't have to try and sell his importance to me. Just by who he was, I would know. So today, I just want you to understand today that today there's an awful lot of orphan kids around. People that have been orphaned from their father. Jesus came to show us what the Father's like. God spoke to me this year and told me that the next move of his Spirit is going to be through the lay people. That we've seen the manifestations of the power of God through the Ascension Gift Ministries, but the Spirit of God showed me a number of years ago about this, but he reminded me again this year that the manifestation of the power of God was going to come through his people, but it was going to come through intimacy. I said it's going to come through intimacy of his people with him. I believe that this morning your father wants to come and visit you. But you've got to let him. You've got to want him. You've got to be hungry for your father. There's too many people who had difficulty with their father. They're not looking for a father. They don't want a father because as soon as I mention the word father, it recoils something inside. There's a reaction to it that makes them think that God's like their father. We need to be set free from that because your earthly father could never be what your heavenly father can be to you today. Who's with me here? I got to really go quick here. I got a lot of things to do, but I got to get this morning. I was 13 years old. I told this story in youth the other night, but I got to tell it again. 13 years old, I was asked to go. My father asked me to go to work with him. As a 30-year-old boy, to go to work with your dad was the most exciting thing God ever asked him to. I love my dad. My dad wasn't able to show me that much love, but he showed me a good life. He showed me he was a good father. He just didn't show a lot of affection. But I remember he asked me to Cheney. My dad was a logger. We had a timber industry, in the timber industry, but we're roading this day. But anyway, he asked me to chain this log up. And the chain was as big as I would, and I couldn't lift the chain. It was too heavy for me. And all I can remember is an elbow going in the side of my ribs, and I heard these words: "You're too slow." Unfortunately, for the rest of my days, for a number of years, I lived with thoughts running around in my spirit. I'm too slow. I'm too slow. I'm too slow. I could do things, but if someone was with me, I would think they would do it faster, and I'd give it to them to do. It wasn't until my father in heaven, in Queenstown, New Zealand, I was standing in front of them. I can still see myself standing in front of the window. My father said to me, "When are you going to let go the words that your father said to you? You're too slow." I've never said that to you. I'm not too slow today. I'm bold. I'm courageous. I'm fearless. I'm moving in because my father's with me. Some of you can't talk like that today because your father never said the right things to you. Today, I'm here to restore the spirit of fatherhood. Come on. Right from the very word go, the devil's been out to orphan the world, create distrust in your father. We're living in a fatherless generation, and I'm here to break that spirit. We live in a fatherless generation. Who needs fathers? Who's with me here? Right from the very beginning, the enemy of mankind is determined to create a fatherless generation. Come on, even all the way through history, the devil's tried to create a fatherless generation. Just create distrust. Come on, God is the father of all the families that are named in heaven and earth. You know what a father's like? Look at God, your father. He's not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent, but he's commanded blessing and cannot reverse it. Your God is a begetter of life in all its forms. And of course, the devil wants to create distrust in fatherhood so the church could never have the provision that he has for it. Today, I'm telling you, your father is not like a human father. He's a perfect father. In all of his ways, he's holy. He's truthful. What he says, he means. Oh God. Of course, the devil's going to go to great effort to create an orphan spirit so you don't feel like you belong anywhere. Wonder truthfully deep down inside yourself whether you feel like you really do belong. You hear things spoken, but do you own the fact that you're a child of God? For God so, we sing it, but you know, I'm not sure sometimes that we own it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Right in the Garden of Eden, Satan was there to create distrust. Did God really say that? Did your father really say that? All right? Adam and Eve talked. Come on, this is a relationship that the father had with Adam and Eve. They walked in the cool of the day. The father even considered the temperature about his conversation with his kids. Who's with me here? He has every consideration in his mind. In the cool of the evening, he came and talked with them and walked with them. That's your father. I remember a couple of years ago, I had to stop talking to the Holy Spirit when I went to bed because he'd get me that wound up I couldn't sleep. If I start talking to the Holy Spirit at night now, it just doesn't work for me. But this is the word that you heard your father say over Jesus. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Come on, say, God's well pleased with me. Would you smile when you say it? He hasn't got a problem. Jesus removed the smear of sin completely from you. There's nothing on you. There's no mark of sin on you. Jesus removed it so the Father can come and talk with you and fellowship with you and meet with you and commune with you. I feel pretty cheeky right now. I want to pray for this little lady here. Come on. Yeah, I pray. You're in youth the other night. Your father's on your case, baby. And I can see you. I saw it the other night. You're walking in the shadows. Today, God, we're removing the shadow so your confidence can come right up. There's a care in you. There's a lover inside you of people. There's a nurture inside you. There's a mother inside you. There's all this characteristic of a healthy person who's shut down on the inside and the best can't come up. Loose her. From day on, your spirit's free to fly.
Yes.
All the instincts that are inside you that have been shut down by fear, perfect love removes it. There is no fear in love. You are loved by your Father. God, I feel better getting rid of that. If you're not used to this kind of, she's not dead. Yeah, that's give a big laugh. That's, let them know you. Yeah. Yeah. Good on your smile. Hey, you right? You want a hand up?
Sorry, I'm just loving it.
Yeah. Hey, you love it.
I love the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Say, I'm bold.
I'm bold.
Look out, here I come.
Yeah.
Here I come.
Yeah.
Look out, here I come.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Lord. And so we see this whole concept of the devil desiring to want to bring about this orphan spirit in people's lives. I mean, what about Jesus on the cross? I mean, this is the kind of, if you can hear what I'm saying, the audacity of the devil to say, if you are the Son of God, get down off here. Come down off the cross. Proves he didn't have a clue what Jesus was up to. The devil had no insight into the future. But he's questioning again, if you are the Son, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Come on, who's with me here? If the thoughts of the righteous are right. Your thoughts are right. The thoughts that are not right are all the questions that question your integrity, that question your righteousness, that question the thoughts that come that you know that didn't come from God. They never came from you. They came from the hopelessness that shuts you down and stops you. Come on, who's with me here today? There's a spirit of hopelessness that stops faith springing up in your life. I was with a church in Auckland, New Zealand, and a guy had his retina come off his eye 3 times. They tried to fix it. He wouldn't fix it. This guy was on the board of the church. He had international ministers all around the world. And they bought him if he would pray for him. And all I can remember looking at him and saying, and God gave me a revelation. I see this today. It was hopelessness. He wanted to sell all his business and just go out and hide in a corner. I just said, I break the spirit of hopelessness. Like electric shock went through him. On the other end of that, the end of the weekend, on the way out, this on the Friday night, I said this on the way out on the Sunday night. I said, I passed him in the hallway. I said, how's your eye? He put his hand over his good eye and said, oh, it's getting stronger. When I got back there the next year, it was completely healed. Come on. God is your Father and he's true to his word. And the thing that what amazed me about this was that if you go to Romans 15:30, and I haven't got time to talk about this tonight, this morning, but it's God's a God of hope. And when hope's dashed, there's a little demon gets outside your head and whispers all the hopelessness. And you listen to that. You don't listen to the fact you're a child of God. God's going to raise the church up to destroy the works of darkness. Come on, you're not going to do it thinking hopeless thoughts about yourself. Hello, little lady. you're gorgeous, you know, I could take you home, you could be my daughter, I don't have a daughter. Would you come home with me? Judy would look after you. I mean, I've got to, Judy would look after you real well. She'd look at well, she looked after me. Come here, sweet. Let me pray with you. Understand, says God. I have a generation that does not know how to be loved, that does not know how to be cared for. But in this hour, says God, my eyes move to and fro through the earth looking for my people that I might visit them, empower them, that I might cause my spirit to rest on their shoulders. Surely, says God, in this moment, I clothe you with my spirit. Understand the moment of your appointment. I've come, says God, to reveal my heart and my spirit. So all through history, we see the devil trying to orphan God's people. We need to understand that. God orphans nobody who wants a father. I said, God orphans nobody who wants a father. And it's been the sole purpose of the devil to create a world without fathers. And if the devil goes after the Son of God, what's he going to do to you? Who's with me on this one? If he's so serious about it, can I pray for you too? Come, both of you come. Both of you come. Says God. Says God. Sir, I'm coming to you first because the Spirit of God just shows me that he wants to use you. You look about everybody else around you, you see God using them. You're happy to be faithful. Do what you can. But today God's coming to raise the level of love from your Heavenly Father to you. You're going to understand, says God, this is my time with you. This is the season, says God. And understand the things that you've strived for. No longer shall you strive for them, says God. For you'll understand that it's my ability to bring those things to you. As your Father, I am your provision. Understand, says God, as you stand aside, as you learn to wait on me, I'm going to show you what I can bring to you. By my spirit, says God, I'm going to cause your spirit to rest. And out of the rest, says God, I will bring my provision to you. Consider this, that I might speak to you and show you things you cannot see for yourself. This is surely, says God, it's my privilege and my delight to visit you and take away the burden and the struggle of attaining life. I have given you it as a gift, says God, and all that pertains to it. Visit him. Visit him. Visit him. Visit him. Visit him. You know what? If God told you to climb Mount Everest, you'd have a crack at it.
Probably.
Yeah. That's how I see you. God could be wrong. Pretty much. If it works, you would do it. But God's coming to put a rest inside you and let you understand he's a father that's your provider in every way. Says God. Even this day, I bring rest. Rest. I'm bringing rest I'm the God of rest. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If I'm prophesying and I'm saying things that fit yours, could well be you I'm prophesying to. I just got to very quickly close. You see, I find there's a misconception in people's minds about the kingdom of God because they have a misconception about the Father of the kingdom. I said people have a misconception of the kingdom because they have a misconception of the Father of the kingdom. God. Matthew 7:13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go by it. But verse 14 says this. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. I meet too many Christians that are making it too hard for themselves and too hard for a whole lot of other people because they see this and misquote it. Of course, the gate is narrow. Jesus is the gate that leads to the Father. Who heard me? When you meet the Father, it's a different story. Can you hear me today? My Bible says it's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Say, the kingdom's mine. Would you say that, please? The narrow is the gate. But when you meet the Father, it's wide. All right. And if you look at Jesus' life, you see that. You see a reflection of Jesus' life. How wide's that? Jesus came to reveal what the Father's like. The broadness and the bigness of Jesus' life is the bigness of your life with your Father in heaven. All right, I've got to close with this. When you come through the gate, there's mercy, there's truth. There's freedom. Who can hear me this morning? When you get through the gate, you're on the side of mercy, freedom, and truth. You come into the kingdom to be transformed from one dimension to another. You didn't come into the kingdom just to get born again. You came into the kingdom to have a transforming experience so that your life has a constant journey of transformation from one dimension of glory to the next dimension. That is the purpose of your Father, to come to you today and give you an experience of His glory so that you can go from that dimension to the next dimension. And your life is just a constant encounter of living with your Father. Am I helping somebody? And I don't know what the devil's done to shut you down, but I know this. In this amount of people, I know this in people that have been orphaned. Because you can't see your Father as generous as that. All you can hear is abusive words or scenes of anger
or things coming up in your spirit that happened, and all it does is reflect the opposite. It reflects an orphan spirit that can't get access to a father. But I'm telling you, the fatherhood of God is the exact opposite. He embraces his kids. He loves them. He empowers them. He is a begetter. Right from the word God, your God has been a begetter of everything that exists. From him, through him, and to him are all things. And whatsoever comes from your father will be sustained by your father. But if you're trying to get some way that your father has not given you, then he's got no way of sustaining it. Who can hear me today? I said to my pastor when he asked me to travel in 1995 and asked me to go on the road, I said, no way, Jose. I am not going to be a poor itinerant pastor. Because most of the guys I looked on the road, I tell you, man, they were poor. I can't ask this group of people to sustain my life. I can't trust you to look after me. That's how I'm thinking, was thinking. But then I got arrested on the 20th of January at 10 o'clock in the morning, 1995, I saw the presence of God coming towards me, and I heard these words, release your church, 3 times. I said, almost immediately, I said, what do I do? I heard the Spirit of God say inside me, run to the nations, empower my people. I heard my father. I heard my pastor. I couldn't say yes to my pastor because I couldn't hear God. It didn't make my pastor wrong. He was right, but I needed to hear my father say it. It put a lot of trust in my pastor because he heard God. But you need to hear your father. Some of you can't hear your father because you're orphaned. I've been happy, and I've been so looked after for 20 years. I keep saying, I can't believe that this has been 22 years that we've been totally sustained. And most of the churches I love are small churches because I'm a family kind of boy. I love relationship. The Spirit of God's talking to you, little lady. Can I pray for you? The Father's coming to you right now to lift the burden off your shoulders. Sometimes it doesn't take words. You just got to see your Father. She's having a visitation by the Spirit of her Father. Visit her. Weight's coming off. All the questions you had is going to be dissolved. Am I making sense here today? To go the next level as a household, you have got to hear your father, not your shepherds. Some of you have got giftings and callings on the inside. Little lady, you got up in the middle of the operation. Come back out here. There's more. You got up with a scalpel still on the inside of you. You've got permission to say that you feel like you need to get up. But God's visiting. I'm not saying you can't get up. You can, but I just know that the Spirit of God's still doing stuff to you. Some disappointments he's removing completely from you so you can't find him anymore. I was saying something in the middle of. Doesn't matter, it can't be that important. It was. I'm saying there's gifts and callings inside of you that you can't hear your father saying, walk this way. Because you're too busy trying to work your own life out. Seek ye first the kingdom. I tell you, God wants to put the kingdom back in its right perspective in people's lives. People are trying to live in the kingdom without the Father of the kingdom. And you're missing hearing what God says, because you can't do this, you can't do that, because you don't have the energy, you don't have the ability, you have all these questions that God's saying, I am the Father of the kingdom. And I have put gifts and abilities. I am a farm boy talking to sheep, horses, and dogs. I was so shy, my wife had to propose to me. She was a slick city girl. If you said I could preach to 5,000 people, I would have ran a mile, but I've done it. Why? Because I hear my Father. I'll have a go at something because I hear my Father. I can hear my Father. I'm his son. And if you step, see, my Father, you speak, have one nasty thought about me, and you got to deal with my Father. I love this guy. Don't worry, I'm not. I'm trying not to pick on him. Come on, church. Can you hear me? You need to hear your Father. I appreciate what Jesus has done for you, but he's brought you through the door to your Father. There's a lot of people come through the door, but they need to meet their Father. You need to meet my daddy. I'm the biggest sook you've ever met because I met my daddy. I don't have to try at being anything. I'm in him. I'm in his little tube. And he's taking me somewhere. He's with me. He wants to put you there with him and show you things. Put a wall around you, protect you. But today we need to give up the orphan spirit. We need to renounce it and say, no longer am I going to live divorced from my Father. Now there's some people here that I'm going to start moving by the Spirit. It's time to go home, is it? I'm trying to be a good boy and do what you want me to do. Don't you love this guy?
Yeah.
You're blessed having these two. I'm telling you, I know when you go, I know I travel. You got a couple that love you. I know it. But I want to pray. There's some here today that you know you were divorced from your Father because of some things that were said and done. I really want you to come out right. If you want God to be your Father, we've got to get you back to your Father. You know that there's been offenses between you, there's unforgiveness between you and your Father. We'll deal with a whole lot of things, but right now I want to deal with those that you know things have not been right between you and your Father. We've got to get that right. If that's you, I want you to run out. I don't want you to sit and think about it. I want you to come, because we've got a whole lot of other things we've got to deal with here. There's those who don't. I don't want you to be intimidated by who else is around you. This is about freedom. This is about your future. If you're intimidated, you don't really want to be free. If you're sitting there wondering, should I come or not? Come on, there is others. I know that for sure. There's three or four in this room, at least. Come on, there's more. Thank you, Father. This is really important. I'm telling you, this is about, we're going to come over to the side. Maybe we'll come over here. Please come. I know what it is to feel complete. Can we just move along? Can we just move along this way a bit? Can we just form one line, just come in here? That's the one that I'm praying for. Listen, there could have been abuse, physical, sexual. I'm not going to ask anyone publicly what it is. All I know is that what we want to do here is get the issue right so you can have access to your dad, your heavenly father. We have to believe in justice. Jesus, the Bible says, judges righteously. He judges righteously. In other words, he's got all the truth. Sometimes we have some of it. What I'm going to ask you to do, I want you to forgive your father. Literally, can you do that? Knowing that Jesus is not leaving anything undone. We've got to be able to do that. Can you do that, sir? We need forgiveness. We need the access. And it always comes through forgiveness. So why don't we all pray this? This thing for all good for all of us to pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you forgive me as I forgive others. I forgive, in this case at the front, is I forgive my father and those around me who have offended me. I hand myself and them over to you. I receive forgiveness as you forgive those that have offended me. Thank you, Father, that you gave me Jesus as an access to you. I thank you for revealing yourself to me. I think that you will show me. You'll talk to me. You'll reveal yourself to me. I accept that I'm your son. I accept that I'm your daughter through Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, on the basis of knowing clearly what forgiveness is, because I don't want to pussyfoot around. If there's no forgiveness, we can't expect Jesus to do his work with them. But if you're forgiven right now, I believe that the power of God is going to give you access to himself. Father, I thank you, Lord. I literally break the orphan spirit. I break the orphan spirit. I break the orphan spirit. Yeah, that's right. We'll hold you up. We don't want you to bounce around the floor, do we? Just hold it up. The power of God is going to. But I don't want you to worry about that. If they drop you, I'll drop them. You're right. But just the power of God is really important that you don't have to worry about that. Thank you, Father. Get the two people down below. I don't want you to even think about falling over, right? I don't want you to stop yourself. They'll hold you up. Put your hand on it. Safety would just, yeah, that's the power. That's the power of God on you right now. I break the orphan spirit. Right off. Right off.
Yeah.
Loose this man. Loose this man. I have this little lady back up. Little lady. Can I just see you for a minute? Hold her up. I break every stronghold in that mind right now. Comes right off her. Right off her. Right off her. Right off. Off. I said off. You got no longer any rights. No claim over her. Right off her. Every image, every thought is subject to Christ. Church, you may not be used to this kind of thing, but we got to judge it by its fruit, not by what you see. There's someone in this meeting right now, and you've been suffering from suicide.
Who's that person? You've been having suicidal thoughts. Someone's got that. Who's been facing? Someone's been facing that. Is that you?
Yeah. Well, you got a right to be. Your father loves you enough. Today, Father, I thank you. Loose it, right. No more.
And there's still somebody here in the meeting right now that the problem being you've been around acts of violence and you have flashbacks from that. Who's that person? Someone has flashbacks from acts of violence. Oh, my God. We're just going to believe it right now. The love of God's going to set you free from all that, man. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I just want you to ask Jesus. This is what I want you to do right now. Just ask Jesus to come into those scenes right now. Just say it loud, Jesus.
Jesus,
I thank you.
I thank you
for coming into my soul. And removing. Every impression.
And every impression
of violence.
Every word.
Every anger.
Every bit of anger.
I thank you for breaking those impressions. It's power gone on you. Just thank you, Lord. Loose that right off, man. Thank you, Father. Right. Every image, every word gets broken. Church, this is church. This is the wrong church to be in when I'm here, if you don't like it. But the truth is, Jesus come to reveal the Father. And this is the nature of the Father, to love on us, to love freedom into us. Come on, who's with me? You're a little bit nervous about this.
Sure,
eh?
I am.
On the other side of your obedience coming up here is your freedom.
Okay, thank you.
You know what? Is there something you want to that you can set free for?
They were saying around acts of violence and stuff. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Your father wants to set you free.
Okay, thank you.
Jesus put you through the door. You've given your heart to Jesus,
sure
eh?
Have,
sure have. Well, he gave you the door to your father. Your father's not like that.
Okay,
he's the opposite. He's coming to you right now. I want you to shut your eyes and just say this, Jesus, come into my life. Show me the Father. I thank you that right now. You're removing from inside of me all the sting, all the scenes of violence.
Come to set me free.
Now look up, like you're taking a drink. Shut your eyes, like you're just drinking it, just like you're drinking in the presence of God. I take authority over this orphan spirit, and I command every stronghold that Satan's used to hold this precious woman back. I literally loose it from her. Loose it off. Right off. That's the power of God. It's all right. The power of God has come to set you free. Visit her in her world. Thank you, Lord. It's all right. It's all right, sweet. I just want you to see the power of God. Don't worry about what's happening to your body. Jesus is looking after you. He's looking after you. Thank you, Lord. Well, I want you to just see Jesus setting you free. Father's commissioned Jesus to come to set you free. Holy Spirit, right now, every image, every picture, every word, every action of violence comes right off her. I said off her completely.
Right offer. Right offer. Right offer. Completely offer. Don't be in a hurry. The Spirit of God's on you. I don't want you to feel like you got to hurry because it's... Thank you, Lord. You okay? Wasn't too bad, was it? No. Quite beautiful, but you lost your hat. Hang on to it. You've got your hat. I prayed for a lady once that had... I sense the power of God on you. You got to help other people. Shut your eyes for a minute. I want you to drop into the... into a scene where there was violence, where it's all violence once. Just try. Ask me, is the sting gone?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, you think so, yeah. Yeah. Not there?
No.
No. It's the power of God on you.
Thank you.
It's the power of God on you. Right down the very roots of your being comes and sets you free. I really believe God wants you to help other women get set free. And the way I did it is the way you'll do it. The power of God's on you to do it. You won't be intimidated by the power of God.
Okay.
Because it sets people free.
Okay.
I couldn't set you free from that. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
You couldn't set yourself free, otherwise you would have.
Yeah, that's right.
So what he does, he gives you the power. Okay. And when you carry the power, you pray for people, they get set free.
Yeah. No,
can you believe that?
Yeah, I can actually.
Yeah. These people around you making it. Make you feel awkward.
Make you feel very awkward.
Yeah. Hello. That's all right. Say this, the power of God's on me.
The power of God is on me. Thank you.
Bless your sweet. Thank
you. Thank you.
There goes a worker. She's gorgeous. I like what's on that woman's spirit. I was praying for her. Let me tell this little quick story. I was praying for a pressed little lady that had cancer and she'd had treatment. And she wanted me to pray for her, but she didn't want to lose her wig. I said, that's all right. So I got two or three guys to stand behind. I said, we'll make sure we look after you. Well, the power of God hit her through about four rows of chairs back. The three guys that were standing there, they went sailing. They lost their grip. They're on the floor. And she was lying on the floor, four rows of chairs back, without her wig. And I thought, oh. Everything I promised her didn't happen. But thank God she started to laugh. She saw the joke in it. Thank you, Lord. I want everybody that you know you need a revelation of the Father. Would you just stand up? Everyone in this church, just why don't we all stand up? Let's all stand up. Church, we need to understand, if you're going to receive from God, you've got to learn how to receive. Mentally, you cannot touch what I'm talking about through your mindset. Since when will your peanut head allow you to understand how big God is? So it takes sometimes childlike actions from us to receive from God. And I'm not talking about something you just do in church. I'm talking about when you get out of bed in the morning, you clothe yourself with the presence of God. As often as you remember God, you should clothe yourself with His presence. His presence goes with you. Israel, God took him and put him in the land called Goshen. And they never had the lack that the rest of the world had because God was their father. Some of us need to live in the land of Goshen. So I'm going to tell you how you get there. You clothe yourself with the presence of God. I want to see how willing you are to follow. Because disciples get what God's got for them. we get discipled. I'm going to disciple you right now about how to clothe yourself with the presence of God. Oh, and what? Put your hands up. Like you're going to pull a garment over your shoulders. As you pull that garment over your shoulders, say, I clothe myself with God. Do it again. I clothe. Take it like you got a big bucket in your hand right now. You ever got a big bucket? This is full of the presence of God. We need to learn how to receive from God. Take the bucket up like you're going to drink from the bucket. Drink like you drink from the bucket. Receive. 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 Now put your hand down. Just look at me. Who feels like there's a shift in their position on the inside right now? Did they've done that? One or two? Well, this time we're not going to do it with their hand. We're just going to do it. I want you to look up like you're receiving. I'm going to pray for you. Father, according to the grace that you put on my life, and the call that you've called me with the word that you gave me, I release your Father's heart. I release your heart into those that will willingly receive it. I break the orphan spirit right across this auditorium. I command a breaking down of its hold. The enemy of God, I stand, I declare, you shall no longer have hold over people. I declare every person that comes into this building will find the freedom from being orphaned. That your love, receive. 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 Say this after me. I renounce the orphaned heart, and I receive the heart of my Father. Bible says he's going to take the stony heart out and give you a heart of flesh. This morning, heart changes happened everywhere across this building. We receive the Father's heart. We receive it. I just hear the Father God. I sense, I could be wrong, but I sense you've lived. No, you've been very quiet. As an individual, you've felt responsibility for your own life. But I hear my Father saying to you, would you tell the younger generation they're going to make it? Go and love on them. And tell them you're still here after a whole lot of trials and a lot of things that didn't go like it meant to go. But you're still here and you're in the house of God. And I hear the Father saying, would you be a father to those that don't have a father? Today he's coming to equip you to do that. Going to give you the courage, the boldness, and you're going to find the latter end of your life more fulfilling than the former, because God's going to flow through you to others. And as you take care of others, he's going to take care of you. That's what you're going to find. Your situations are going to change as you bring other people into your world. Just have you. God. Go and do acts of kindness. Show a father's heart. Show a mother's heart. And what happens to your world? I want to describe. Could you get that guy? Yeah, sir. Come on, up here. Yeah, you come up here. I see you spending hours in the Word. I see God talking to you through the Word of God. I see a teacher inside of you. I see you breaking open revelation knowledge. I see a whole new life being formed. There's a hunger inside of you for God. You've come hungering for your Father. That's who you're hungering for. And God's going to give you a message.
Amen. I receive it. I receive
to a whole lot of people that don't have a messenger.
I receive it.
Father, I place the spirit of revelation in him. Over his mind. An instructor. An instructor. I see you going in and out. You've come in to get something and you're going out with something. Consider not the former days, says God. They're too small and too restricted. Thank you, Lord. Holy Ghost. About it, isn't it? I'm allowed to go home now?
Let's give him a hand. Pastor Fergus. Can I just get you to take your seats for a moment? Well, we haven't finished with Pastor Fergus. We've got him tonight at our chapel service. And then he's going to do some prophecies tonight. He says he's going to go just start praying for people. So 5 p.m. tonight at Walleye Creek. And also Monday night, look, if you're... come along Monday night as well. If you're around, you want at 7 p.m. here in this place. All our leaders, all our workers are invited, and anyone in life groups. But if you want to come, please come along. And we're just going to get them to really release and just pray for people and have words of prophecy. But what we're going to do right now, we do this for every single person that comes into this place, every ministry. I know this couple. They live by faith. They live by what God gives them. And it's our way of honoring those that come into this house. Amen. It's, you know, someone once said to me, you know, do you just give for what they do here on a Sunday? We're not giving to what they've done on a Sunday. We've given to what they've allowed God to do in their lives to bring them to this point, to be out in churches all the time, almost every Sunday he's out, both of them together, ministering. And we want to support them and send them home blessed. Amen. Can we do that? So before we do, let me just pray. God, we thank you for Fergus and Jude. God, we thank you for them. We thank you for their ministry. God, I thank you for their ability to hear from God. God, to walk in faithfulness to you and your word, God. To be able to allow their lives, God, to be positioned in a place where they hear from you and they allow themselves, God, to be obedient to what you want them to do. And God, we thank you for the blessing that they are to many people across our nation and this world. And God, we pray for their ministry. We pray for their household, Father God. God, we pray for their provision and we speak life into it in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Thank you, ushers. If you want to make out, if you're not prepared for that, we've got an FPOS afterwards up there. Just let them know it's all about giving to Fergus and they'll make sure they do that. Beautiful. We've definitely gone a little bit over, but it's worth it, amen? And so tonight, we're going to have a great meeting tonight. And of course, Monday night, 7 p.m. We'll be here. We'll be open around 6:30 for some coffee. But you're all welcome. But brilliant. Close your eyes for a minute. God, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you for exactly what Pastor Fergus said. God, I thank you for what we've caught in this building today. God, that people's spirits have shifted. We thank you for your love, Heavenly Father, that you truly are our Father and you truly are the one, that everything good in our life comes from you. And God, I just pray that that revelation would just ooze out of us, God. God, it would just sink into our spirits, God, and God, it would just allow ourselves to be changed from the inside out. We love you, Father. We accept and receive your love this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Well, God bless you, church. If you're new or visiting with us, we'd love to meet you out through into our cafe area. We've got a coffee waiting for you. God bless you. See you tonight, 5 p.m., Walleye Creek, if not Monday night as well. God bless you, church.